We open our Bibles together tonight to God's Word in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4, reading the first 16 verses of this chapter. And our text for the evening will be the verses 7 through 16, focusing especially on verses 7, 8, and 16. This begins the second part of the letter to the Ephesians. The first three chapters have been devoted to teaching us the truth of the church as the body of Jesus Christ, the glorious body of Jesus Christ. Now, our calling as members in the precious body, the church of Jesus Christ. Chapter 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation or calling wherewith ye are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is above all, and through all, and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Wherefore he saith, when he ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. Now that he ascended, what is it but that he also descended first into the lower parts of the earth? He that descended is the same also that ascended up far above all heavens, that he might fill all things. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting or equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. May the Holy Spirit give us understanding tonight in His Word. As I said, the text will be verses 7 through 16, but let's just highlight verses 7 and 8. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ, wherefore He saith, God saith, when he, Christ, ascended up on high, he led captivity captive and gave gifts to men. And then verse 16, from whom the whole body harmoniously, fitly, harmoniously joined together and compacted or connected, held together by that which every joint supplies. So you have the skeletal system and the muscles. According to the effectual working, the powerful working in the measure of every part of the human body of the church, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying, building up of itself in love. Beloved in the Lord Jesus Christ, when I say tonight the word church, what comes into your mind? What are you thinking when I ask the word, when I say the word church? What pops into your mind? This building, especially this sanctuary, when you think of church in the front of this sanctuary, do you think about that? Do you think about our new sign? Do you think about the new classrooms, church? Do you think about going to church? Do you think about the people here, some who you know, and probably many that you do not know? Over 550 members. Do you think about that? Or do you think, when I say the word church, do you think of a living body of Jesus Christ? One body of the Lord Jesus Christ, united together by His Spirit, in His blood of atonement, and in His love, in whom Christ dwells, so that we are members one of another, united in the body of Christ, so that our union in this church is a more permanent union, a more intimate union than even the union of your marriage or of your family or of your dearest friends. Do you think of one church made by God, one body, saved by grace, of which I am a member in that one body of my blessed Savior? I said the book of Ephesians is on the glorious body of Christ. And if you turn back just to chapter 1, the concluding verses of Ephesians 1, where the apostle, last two verses, the apostle has prayed that we would know the greatness of God's power, which is in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and when He ascended into the right hand of God. And then verse 22, and God hath put all things under His feet, under Jesus' feet, and gave Him to be the head over all things. Right now, He's the head over all things at the right hand of God, to the church, for the church's benefit, and then the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him. We fill Him, Christ, who is the head, and He filleth all and is in all. Do you think of that? My second question tonight is that when you think now of that church, the body of Christ, and its work, who do you think of when you ask the question about the work of the church? The work of the church in caring for the members of the body of Jesus Christ, of coming to the side of the hurting and of the troubled and of the lonely and of those who are straying from the Lord Jesus Christ, those who are absent, those who are withdrawn, those who are aged, those who carry a heavy load. That's the work of the church. Who's supposed to be doing that? Or the work of the church in the carrying of the gospel from this place into our surrounding community and assisting in India and bringing the work of the church in bringing the gospel to a perishing world. Who do you think is to do these things? Do you think of a new pastor that we need? Do you think of the elders? Do you think of deacons? Do you think of committees as the ones who are solely responsible for that work? Is that their job? And if it's their job, is that a healthy church? Now, in this passage, we're going to see that Christ's gift to the church is pastors and teachers, the special offices who are to equip each believer for his work of ministry in the church. But the answer is that work of the church, that ministry of the church, which is the body of Christ, Christ has given grace and gifts unto the members so that the body, the members of the body, as your human body, all function together for the building up of the church. So that the idea in the church is that we don't just stand by idle, we are not observers, but we are participants. This passage, verses 7 through 16, transforms our thinking about what the church is. It is the body of Christ. It transforms our thinking about what it means to be a member of the church. It's not simply a piece of paper. It points us in our thinking, in all of our thinking about the church, this passage points us first to the ascended Lord Jesus Christ. What he did when he conquered and went to heaven, and then when he poured out his graces, his gifts upon the church to each member of the church. The ascended Lord in this passage tells us that when he ascended, he pours out gifts to you, but unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. Follow that word give in the text. Verse 8, he led captivity, Christ led captivity captive, and he gave gifts unto men. Then from whom, verse 16, from Christ, each one of us receives a place in the body which we must use to edify the whole body. The ascended Lord Jesus Christ has given gifts to each member of the church here, right here, not theoretically, right here, not theoretically. This is the body of Jesus Christ. And we are members in particular to whom Christ has given gifts, each one, for the good of the whole body. When you go to the stadium or you go to the Whitecaps game, you are an observer. When you go into a college classroom, you sit and you learn and then you observe and then you leave. But here, you're not an observer. You don't sit and watch and leave. We are members, one of another, in the body of Christ. From whom? From Christ, verse 16, the whole body harmoniously fit together as your body and held together by that which every joint supplies, according to the power given to that individual part, bringing growth to the body and building the body in love. I call your attention to this scripture tonight under the theme, the ascended Christ's gifts to us, his church. We're going to look first at the giver, the ascended Christ, and his gifts. Then we're going to see the plain truth here, to whom he has given these gifts. And then finally, why he gave the gifts. Our attention, as I said in the passage, is focused on one person, and that's our ascended Lord Jesus Christ, when he ascended up on high. And that this, our ascended Lord Jesus Christ, is the head of the church, the head of the body, who bestows on the church the gifts of grace to each member to equip them for our task. Paul began the chapter, you remember, of chapter 4 here. He began with the call to keep the unity of the church, the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace in the church. He wants us to realize that as a result of gracious salvation, we are one. We have been made one. And he gives a list of seven things in which we are one. One body, one spirit, one hope, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, and one God and Father of us all. And that the Spirit has created that unity among us. He wants us to understand that the unity of the church is not something we made. We did not make the unity of Georgetown Protestant Reformed Church. It was made by the Holy Spirit. It was made by Christ when in His providence He brought us to this congregation. And then in verse 7, where our text begins, Paul brings up the fact that in that unity of the church, there is diversity. We are not clones spiritually. There is a diversity of gifts from member to member. There's a diversity of abilities, of aptitudes, of functions in the body of Christ. We are not different in the God we confess, in the hope that we confess, in the truth that we believe. We are not different in that. We are one in that. God gave us that oneness. But we are diverse. And the diversity of the church here is not a weakness of the body, just like the diversity of your human body, that it's not all bicep, doesn't mean that your body is weak. But the diversity is the strength and the ability of our body to care for itself. So also our differences in gifts, which the flesh like to make an issue in God's will, those differences of ability are important and necessary for the existence of the church. The passage teaches us that the ascended Christ has given offices. Verse 11, He gave some special offices for one time, apostles and prophets. But then He also has given what we call permanent offices in the church, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. And then He goes on to say in the first verse that He's given to each member gifts. Diversity is of gifts. If you cross-reference that with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 4, speaking now of the different spiritual gifts given to the members of the church. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 4, now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, administrations, different things people do in the church, but the same Lord. There is diversity of operation, but the same God who works all in all. And then skipping to verse 8, for to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith, and so on. And then verse 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man differently, severally, as He wills. So He has given to this church offices, and then He has given to each member gifts. And the focus is that all of these gifts, all of it, has come from the ascended Lord. I would have you note that. Verse 7, but unto every one of us given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then He talks about the ascension of Christ. When He ascended up on high, He led captivity captive and gave gifts unto men. And so the point, and He's quoting there in verse 8, He is quoting from an Old Testament passage, Psalm 68, verse 18. Psalm 68, verse 18, where we read, Thou hast ascended on high. Thou hast led captivity captive. Thou hast received gifts. Thou hast received gifts for men, yea, for the rebellious also, that the Lord God might dwell among them. So the picture of the ascension of Christ is the picture of David, of a conquering king. And in those Old Testament times, when a king conquered the enemy and had a great victory, he would return to his city, he would return to his nation with the spoils of his victory, and he would distribute these things to his citizens. He would lavish upon these people what he has gained for them through his conquest. So, says the scripture, Jesus Christ has ascended to the right hand of God as a conquering king. He has not ascended there to just sit idle, but he is pouring now upon us, the church, the graces that he earned for us in his victory, the victory of his cross and resurrection. Jesus Christ conquered. He conquered our sin. He broke the chains of our condemnation. He released us from the irons of the slavery of sin. He earned the blessings of salvation and righteousness, but he also earned all the gifts of sanctification, all the spiritual gifts that he bestows upon you, all the spiritual abilities that the Spirit gives you to perform. These are all earned by Christ and are as his spoil that upon his ascension he bestows upon us, his church, so that we are not left to ourselves. We are not left defenseless. He has bestowed these gifts, offices, elder, deacon, and pastor, but upon each one of us, he has bestowed these gifts for the edifying and building of the body. I would have just underscore these things in your mind. I would have you underscore that he begins, as I said, in verse 11, that the permanent offices, I mean the offices that Scripture teaches us are to be in the church at all times, pastor, elder, and deacon, the ascended Christ gave to the church these offices. I could demonstrate that from Scripture in particular, but I won't do that now. And he gave these for the edifying and preserving of his church here. Remember, we're talking about the church local. We're talking about this church. And so we read in verse 11, he gave some evangelists, I'll call those missionaries, and some pastors and teachers, elders, deacons, pastors teach as well. And through these offices, he brings the word, and especially through the pastor's office, he brings the preaching of the word, and so he has bestowed this gift upon the church. And I'd like to make just one point of application here, that this passage then teaches us that when it comes to the offices of the church, the office of pastor, elder, and deacon, that we should think of these offices here in this church with honor. With honor. And honor because they have come from our ascended Lord Jesus Christ as his gift for us, his church. And this is an important point in our day of the honor to be shown to the church and her offices through which Christ edifies the church. And not to look down upon them and not to prejudge them, to honor them. But then I would have you notice this now, follow me carefully, that the function of the offices is, verse 12, to equip the saints, us members, for the work of the ministry. Verse 12, he gave pastors and teachers for this purpose the perfecting, or we may say the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry. The work of the ministry there is not referring to the work of the official ministry of preaching, but it's referring to the ministry that each child of God performs. We read in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 15, of the household of Stephanas, who was the first fruit, says Paul, to God in Achaia. He was one of the earliest converts to the gospel under Paul in Greece. And Paul says, concerning the household of Stephanas, he commends them and he says, Stephanas and his family have addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Stephanas was not a minister, but he had addicted himself. He could not stop doing it, to minister to his fellow saints. And so the interpretation is, the offices exist to equip, to teach us, so that we are learning how to minister one to each other. And that's the interpretation, is evident that when Paul says in this verse 7, he has given unto each one of us, each member according to the measure of the gift of Christ. There are no observers in the church. There's no one who's just passing along on the outside, disconnected to the church. There's no one. Every member here, you, are involved in the ministry to each other in this church. That's the teaching that God is giving to us tonight. In my last years in here as your pastor, and even after that, I've been able to attend confessions of faith. And in those last years, and even after that, I noticed a decided shift in the elders' questions to the young people or to those who were making confession of their faith. And the shift was very pointed. What are you going to do in this church? What will you do for the good, the benefit of your fellow members? What are you going to do? And then they didn't leave it in generalities. No generalities. What are you going to do? What Bible study are you going to join? What are you going to be doing for the benefit of this church? They had to say something. And I say to you then, you here who made that confession of faith, are you doing that? And that question applies to every one of us. What are you doing for the good of the body of Christ here tonight? And then I want to point out to you that all of this, first point yet, this is the last part of the first point, that gift of the office, pastor, elder, or deacon, or the gifts given to each one of us, verse 7, that this is all of grace. Unto every one of us is given, he doesn't say gift, he says grace. According to the measure or the appointment of the gift. He gives you a gift, but he gives you grace first. It's all of grace. Children, you know what grace is. It's something I don't deserve. I don't deserve that. It's not only something I don't deserve, but it's not the result of my work, my attainment. Our gifts are given to us of sheer grace. Salvation is all of grace. Grace is the blessed heart of the gospel. Grace that God gives to rebellious sinners. grace. Christ has graced the church by giving the special offices of elder, deacon, and pastor. And Christ has graced the church by giving to each member here that gift according to the measure of Christ. It's all of grace. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. This is very important for us to hear. And who makes you different from another? Why are you here tonight? Why do you have a place in the body of Christ? Who makes you to differ? And what do you have? What hast thou that thou didst not receive? What do you have that you have not received from your God and Savior? Now, if you did receive it, why do you glory or boast as if thou hast not received it? Are you using your gift? Are you using your gift humbly? This is to encourage us. This is to hold back our pride. But this is to encourage us. There's no one here in Christ, in this church, who can say, I am of no benefit to this church. That's false, according to God's own word. And there's no one here, born of grace, who can say, I'm along for the ride. I don't concern myself with what I'm doing in and for my church. No one may say that. And so that brings us to whom are these gifts given? And the answer is very straightforward. Unto every one of us. Unto every one of us. It's very plain. Now we will answer the question exactly what is meant by every one of us, because we know, as was said this morning as well, that not necessarily all outward members of the church who hold membership in the church are necessarily those who are in the light, in Christ Jesus. So who does Paul mean by every one of us? He means, verse 12, the saints, he calls them saints, separated ones, taken by grace out of the world and separated to God as His children. But then, if we want to give a further answer to that, then you have to go back to chapters 1 and 2 of this epistle, and where you read that Paul is writing to the faithful in Christ Jesus, to those who are blessed with all spiritual blessings from Christ, to those who have been predestinated, chosen eternally, merely of grace, to those who have been redeemed in the precious blood of Christ and have the forgiveness of sins, to those who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit of promise, to those who have been brought to trust in Christ for all their salvation, chapter 2, to those who have been quickened or made alive, confessing that I was born dead in trespasses and sins, but it was the grace of God who regenerated me, unto all of us, members of the church, this grace is given. Brought to Christ, loving the church, loving His fellow believers, living in repentance and conversion, desiring to be like Christ. That's who Paul is talking about. Is that you? Is that me? By the grace of God. A sorrow and a conviction over my sin, and a humility before God for my sin, a trust in Christ, and a compulsion that I must live unto Jesus Christ. Then, that being so, we may not live in this body as though we are in a sewed-on appendage, a mere external participation in the church along for the ride, but we are to give ourselves and our gifts for the health and for the well-being of this church. We may not be indifferent. We must use the gift given to us, every one of us. Now, the Apostle Paul in this passage shows that he has a tremendous insight, and he lived in the first century. He had a tremendous insight as to the human body and of how all the members and parts of our body are a created marvel of God and are all interrelated and codependent, and each one necessary, including the appendix. And he seems to know all of these things, and that might be a bit surprising to us because medical knowledge had not advanced to that point. But then we need to remember that this is inspired by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit, medical science today, is not telling the Holy Spirit something he did not know, for it's the Holy Spirit who breathed life into Adam, and the Holy Spirit who was the hand of God to design and make our human body. And now, how much we have come to know through biology and science, the staggering, literally staggering beauty and intricacy of the human body and of the billion of cells and of the function of the blood and of the tiniest little cell and enzymes and the tissue of the skin and hair over your arm so that you can feel the pressure that is being placed upon your arm and muscles and bones. Beloved and children, our body is a walking museum of the wonder and the brilliance of our God who made man. We did not evolve. God made man. But now here's the point. Though we see that in our human body, and you marvel, you get sick and you go to the doctor and you learn so much about your body, you go, really? Really? Though we know that about the human body, do we hold the church up here tonight in our hearts to the same amazement? Because I point out to you that the human body was only made by God to reveal His wonder of creating His church out of rebel sinners, and so uniting us that we are glorified together or we are not glorified. Each part throughout all ages and also in this local church is not a mistake. But as your body is a reflection of God's glory, so this church is a reflection of God's glory. Is that the way? Is that the way we think of church and of our membership in this church? And the Apostle Paul here is admonishing the church at Ephesus. He's saying, this is who you are. You are members of the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given you a part and a place in that body here tonight. Each member is important and has a calling. You remember Paul's going to say in this epistle, to husbands in chapter 5 when he's telling them to take care of your wife and love her, reminding them that they are now one body in marriage. He says, no man ever yet hated his own body. To hate the church, the body of Christ, to despise her. Here, we need to ask the question tonight, what kind of member am I? Am I negligent? By the grace of God, do I see that I need to not only walk with my Lord, but I must walk as a member of the body, contributing to it. We know that in our human body, disease and cancer, which can easily bring death to us, results from just one itsy-bitsy little cell going awry and it beginning to mutate and multiply so there's more cells like it. When cells go awry in your body, you want it corrected. What attitude are we to have toward the church? What do we allow ourselves to say about the church and her members and her office bearers? What do we feel free to publish on social media and Facebook about the church and about fellow members? Am I a member who is bringing division to the church, the body of Christ? What kind of member? Well, children, you'll remember with me that we have a good Heidelberg Catechism. And the Heidelberg Catechism tells us what kind of member. When it confesses in Lord's Day 21, you'll remember the words, when we confess concerning the church that God has throughout all ages, and we finish that Lord's Day by saying, and I am and forever will remain a living member thereof. We must be living members, vital members. We must see that we have been cut off an old root, an old stock called Adam, that we were corrupt and no good, but we have been engrafted into Jesus Christ, united to Him, and now united to each other. We need to understand that our tie to this church is not a piece of membership paper in the consistory room. It's not a baptismal certificate. These things are important. They're important because they're the record of God's work in my life. Your confession of faith, that's a record of God's work in your life and the work of the church. That piece of paper is important. I'm not despising the paper. But that does not make us members. Christ does. That doesn't join us to each other. Jesus Christ joined us to each other here. Unto each one of us is given grace according to the gift of Christ. It is impossible for a living member of the church not to be gifted by Jesus Christ with a gift for the body of the church. We often say when it comes to this question of gifts, we are reticent and find it difficult to talk about it publicly with each other. And we often, well, we go two ways, just like the pendulum on the grandfather clock. We say, I have no gifts, when we look to ourselves. Or It goes swinging. It never stays in the middle. The pendulum hardly abides in the middle. It swings the other way. Well, of course, I have gifts for the church. Doesn't everybody see them? But very often we're not convinced. And we say, but I can't do that. I'm not really needed. I don't have a whole lot to contribute to this body. Well, then, let me ask us some questions. Do you and I have a hand? Do you have two hands? 500 members multiply two hands. That's 1,000 hands. 1,000 hands in this church. With that hand, cannot we find something to do for each other? To help each other? To bend low and do something for another? To think about someone else? To use our hand? To be thoughtful? To use our hands in our homes and in our church for others? To be ready to serve? Maybe we say, well, my hand's paralyzed. I don't think there's anybody here who doesn't have a physical hand, but my hand is no longer very strong. Okay? Do you have a mouth? Yes, but we say, I don't know what to say. At a funeral home, I don't know what to say. Do you have a mouth? Well, I don't know. Can you smile? Yes. Well, with this mouth and with this smile, we may please and serve the Lord in this place and speak encouraging words or, if needed, a loving word of rebuke and reproof for the glory of God. But maybe we say, Reverend, I don't have a hand. I'm weak. I don't have a mouth. And maybe we say, I don't have eyes. And I can't walk. And I'm in a wheelchair. And I have very little, if any, physical abilities. And that may be so. But then I ask you and me, do you have a heart? And I'm not asking about this heart. I'm asking about that new born heart that's united to Jesus Christ. And then I say to you, God may put you in a wheelchair and He may give you a stroke and you can't speak and you can't eat unless they put it into your mouth. But if you have that heart, you can serve and edify the church by a heart of submission and trust and a good confession concerning your God, and a nod of encouragement then, whatever it may be, to strengthen your fellow believer. If you have that heart, you will find a way to edify your brother and sister. And remember that unless we have that heart, we cannot edify in the Church of Jesus Christ. Would a good next pastor in this church be a man who is eloquent in speech and can have us spellbound week after week? Does that guarantee that he will edify the church if he does not love the Lord Jesus Christ and live for Him? No, he will not edify the church. We may have members who are filled with wisdom, but if they don't have the right heart, and if in their heart they are counting themselves better than everybody else, his wisdom is of no benefit to the church. These gifts, the point is, they come from the heart. And therefore the point is also this: we must not be consumed with trying to find our gift. I'll qualify that a little bit. Yes, you should think about your gifts and ask others to think about your gifts. But don't get all consumed about finding what your gift is. Let's not do that. But let's just remember, we are to have a serving heart. And if we have a serving heart, and you want to serve in the body of Christ, God is going to show you your gift. He'll make it plain to you. He's given to each of us gifts for a purpose, that the body, verse 16, may increase, grow to the edifying of itself in love. The church is built up. The idea is that the church spiritually becomes stronger and stronger in the love of Jesus Christ. The exercise of our gifts, the pastor, elder, and deacon in their gift, in their office, each one of us spiritually in the gift that God has given to us, the exercise of that gift builds up the church. There are two things that are built up. Our spiritual growth. We are edified. We are built up by our fellow believers. And the second thing that there's a growth of is love for each other. It is detrimental to the growth of the body in spiritual growth and love if we withdraw ourselves from this body. It is detrimental to our spiritual growth and love, to our own spiritual growth and love. It is better to give than to receive. In the way of giving, we are blessed of God. We confess here tonight, all that I am, I owe to God. All that I am, I owe to the grace of God. That's our confession. We are one in that. But if so, all of grace, then we will be gracious to each other. We will show patience, kindness, meekness. We will be strong and wise to admonish and correct each other. We will seek each other's advantage. We will seek ways to build each other up. We will, according to verse 14, we will grow up into Christ in all things. Verse 13, till we all come in the unity of faith, of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect or complete man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we're no more children carried around by every doctrine. The church will mature. We will increase in Christ-centeredness. I do not grow up in Christ alone. I'm not saying that we should not have our own personal spiritual life and spiritual growth. We should, and we do. I'm saying I do not grow alone. Just like no part of your body, you wouldn't say it's growth if your pinky grew a foot. The whole body grows together. We grow together, or our growth is stunted. Are we ministering to each other? Not one of us is sufficient of ourselves. Christ has made us interdependent on His grace. But through the ministry of the offices and the gifts imparted to the church. What will you think of this week when someone says the word church? What will you think when someone says, who's supposed to do that in the church? Amen. We thank Thee for Thy Word. We see that Thy Word is perfect. Thy Word is true. Thy Word is convicting. Thy Word is a light. We see that we have not attained. We love Thee, Lord. And we pray then that we may take this Word of God personally. We may examine our own lives. And that Thou would bring, O Lord, the continuance of fellowship, but the growth of that growth as a body of Christ, as one body, that we may develop more in these things. Not to our name and not to our honor, but to Thy name and to Thy honor. In Jesus' name, amen.